It is not. It's time for Arts Live and Local. I'm glad my first guest is actually here, and he's laughing with me, so it's okay.
I was on time.
He was. He wasn't. He came even further than I did. But, oh, my goodness, Astoria is where it stopped. Everything else was fine. And Arts Live and Local at this time of year is also sponsored in part by the Astor Street Opry Company's third season of Shanghaied in Astoria. I won't be able to do that for much longer, so you better get out there and catch the act. And it's the 11th annual Miss Vivian and Miss Virginia contest. Information and tickets available now by calling 503-325-6104 or online at AstorStreetOpryCompany.com. That's O-P-R-Y, the old-fashioned way. The old-fashioned way. Radio. It's the best. And I'm going to give you a little bit of music to start us off and to catch some breath. From Rio con Brio, their album Caprice. And this is happening. It's Brazilian guitar. And it is happening this Sunday, the 31st, at the Pine Grove Community House in Manzanita. So have a listen. Thanks so much for being here. And thanks so much for being with us in the last 2 weeks. Today it's going to be all arts, not going to be begging. Thanks, folks. Thank you. And again, that is Tim Connell and, let me get his partner's name, Mike Burdett. And again, they're going to be at the Pine Grove, 6 o'clock on Sunday, the 31st. That's in Manzanita. And it's quite beautiful. And hey, if you'd been smart, you are smart. You are so smart because so many of you called in last week. But you could have picked up some tickets. But now you can get your tickets there. So thank you to them. And my first guest is here for, I'm very excited to have him here because, well, there's something going on that's very important. And Brian McMahon is one of the organizers, but he's also part of the group that goes on all the time, and that is Veterans for Peace. So welcome to Coast Community Radio.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. And you... Have you been on the air? I know you've been here. But
I've been on the air. I was on the air with Mike McCusker.
Oh, yeah.
Back well, a couple years ago with a couple other Vets for Peace.
Okay, okay. So, and anyone who knows Mike McCusker knows why.
Yeah.
So, let's, I don't even know where to start because this is so big. But first, can you give us kind of a thumbnail sketch, Veterans for Peace? What is it? The name speaks for itself, but how long has it been around? And you've got a chapter in what, Manzanita?
Exactly,
North,
right.
North Tillamook County?
Yeah, the Vets for Peace is a global organization of military veterans and allies whose collective efforts are to build a culture of peace by using our experiences and lifting our voices and et cetera. And it's the national chapter is in St. Louis, and it was started in the 80s. And we're chapter 164, North Coast Veterans for Peace, chapter 164. And we are probably the newest chapter in the Vets for Peace. We started about, I'd say 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And basically started because there was not a chapter out on the North Coast. You had to go to Portland if you wanted to be in the Vets for Peace. So we started a chapter. I found 10 veterans who were... willing to, you know.
I know a couple of them.
That's right. And and we got applied for a chapter, and we got it. And so now we're that's about it.
Bonafide group.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason I know that you've been around is that I'm on the BBQ list.
Exactly.
And so whenever there's something happening, I find out and try to get it on the radio. But
yeah, my wife is actually the... publicity person for our chapter, and she has. I'm not on BBQ because there's just too much information. But she's the one who handles all the publicity and gets that stuff out there.
And for those of you who are wondering what we're talking about, it's not having a barbecue. It's a list of everything that you can possibly imagine that's going on in the world that Chuck and Barbara McLaughlin make sure to let folks know.
Right.
So,
Carol, before that, I was just going to give the website for
our
chapter.
Oh, please do.
Yeah.
Good, good.
Hold on here a minute. I'm absolutely worthless at this sort of thing, but I got it written around here somewhere. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's chapter 164vfp.org.
Chapter 164vfp.org.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And what made you decide to do this? Had you been going to Portland for a while and you just got tired of the, or did you want
well,
to meet
I was,
up with locals? Or?
Well, I was a member of the Veterans for Peace in Minnesota, and they had a chapter near me, and so I went to that. And then when I got out here, I didn't go to any other one. They also have one in Corvallis, which is quite a ways away.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
So I just felt that we needed a chapter here that people could come to. And our meetings are on Thursday night, the first Thursday of the month. They've been at the NCRD. We're hoping to move them around. The NCRD, I'm sorry, the North Coast Recreational District in Nehalem, Oregon, is where we have our meetings. They start at 6:30, And we have a little social half hour, and then the meeting, a short meeting at 7 o'clock.
And I heard you say at the beginning it's for veterans and allies. So who can come to the meeting?
Exactly right. The Vets for Peace, any chapter, is open to all people. You don't have to be a veteran to join the Vets for Peace. You can be whatever as long as you're an adult, and female, male, anybody could be
mm-hmm.
a member.
Mm-hmm. So going back a little bit even further, without taking up the whole time, because we want to talk about this fabulous
exactly,
festival, but
right.
why did you decide, when in your life did you realize that you were a veteran for peace?
Well, that's a good question, Carol. It came to me late in life. I was never much of a protester when I was younger. In fact, you know, I was in the Army, and I didn't think much about it. And then as I got older, in the Clinton years, I started becoming more aware. And then in the Bush years, I actually really got aware. And I saw the atrocity of war and how the war doesn't help anybody. It hurts everybody. Whether you win the war or lose the war, everybody is hurt by war. And so I felt that I had to do something to voice this opinion. And the Vets for Peace was the tool to use it. And it is Vets for Peace. It's not Vets Against War.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a positive message mm-hmm. that the Vets for Peace is for peace. And our mission statement states that. Actually, I could – is that taking too much time?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Our mission statement is this. We, having dutifully served our nation, do hereby affirm our greater responsibility to serve the cause of world peace. To this end, we will work with others to, one, increase the public awareness of the cost of war, two, to restrain our government from intervening overtly and covertly in the internal affairs of other nations, three, to end the arms race and to reduce and eventually eliminate nuclear weapons, four, to seek justice for veterans and victims of war, five, to abolish war as an instrument of national policy. To achieve these goals, members of the Veterans for Peace pledge to use nonviolent means and to maintain an organization that is both democratic and open, with the understanding that all members are trusted to act in the best interests of the group for the larger purpose of world peace.
Wow. Amen.
Yeah, amen,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to salute that one for sure. That's fantastic. And you know, that segues right into how I managed to get you here and what brought you here, which is that you, your group, is sponsoring, has created, basically, has organized the North Coast Peace Fest of 2014. And this is happening tomorrow from 11 a.m. till 4 p.m., five bands in
Actually, Carol, that's been changed. One of the bands had to withdraw.
Oh, okay.
So it's four bands, but it's...
Are you going to still have it for 5 hours?
For 5 hours, and that'll give time for taking down and setting up for the bands, and it'll work probably better.
Well, it's quite amazing, though, to put something like this on, and it's going to be... I couldn't understand. Is that an outside venue?
Yes.
The Wheeler?
Right. It's an outside venue. It's down
park.
By the marina. If you're familiar with Wheeler, it's next to the Tsunami Grill. And, if you're driving through Wheeler, if you're going south, you hit Wheeler, it's to the right. If you're going north, you hit Wheeler, it's to the left, and you can't miss it.
I gather Wheeler isn't very big.
No, Wheeler isn't very big, but it's very picturesque. And
the way you said it, though, as soon as you hit it, it's either to the right or the left,
right.
Depending on where you're
going. I have to say that the Wheeler City Council and the Wheeler City Administration has been very helpful with us. They've practically bent over backwards to help us produce this event. So,
fantastic.
Right.
So, and again, I'm reading because I'm going to let you tell us. In addition to the music, and we have Neil Carroll, Sedona Fire Band, whose music we're going to hear in a little bit, Rhythm Method, which is some old guys. I saw Anthony Stoppiello.
Yeah, Anthony Stoppiello is in it.
Stoppiello,
yeah,
so I figured
he's probably... He's probably the oldest, I would say.
Oh, okay. He and I are the same age, so it's okay. Who else is in that? Do you remember?
Gary Sealing is in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't. Oh, I can't remember the other two. There's two other guys.
Okay.
That are in it, and yeah, they're very entertaining.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. I can't imagine what they're even going to wear. And then at 2:45 is Bonnie Bentley and the Phantom Teardrops to rock your socks off.
Absolutely. Now this group is from Astoria.
Yeah.
And they're very good. The main guy is a veteran. And he called down and talked to us about, well, not me, talked to my cohort, Brent, I never could pronounce his last name. I think it's Ankeel or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And volunteered his services free of charge. All the bands are playing free of charge.
Wow.
And
wonderful.
So he, you know, it's really nice to have that kind of input.
Absolutely.
From people.
So he's one of the phantoms, I guess, because Bonnie, well, she might have been a veteran too, but she's not a he.
Yeah, that's so, right. Exactly right.
So yeah. I can tell that. So again, folks, it starts at 11, but you can come by at any time. It is a minuscule amount of money, although you can put as much money as you like in, because this is a benefit for Returning Veterans Project. Tell us about that.
Well, before I tell you about that, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about the festival.
Oh, please.
Yeah,
yes.
There will be face painting there, and there will be yoga for children at 12 o'clock from 12 to 12:30.
Oh, my gosh, that's
great. And then there'll be yoga for adults from 12:30 to 1:30.
Definitely a peace festival.
Exactly right. And we'll have booths with people, nonprofit booths as well as
vendors.
Yes, exactly. And there'll be a beer garden, and the Tsunami Grill is right next door, so they will be supplying food. And of course, the stores in Wheeler will also have food. Yeah.
And there'll be a charge for the food and drink, but the festival itself is
right.
You know, I don't usually allow prices on, but this, I don't know. This was very catchy, too. Of course, you've reduced your band size, but it was 5 bands, $5, $5.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
right.
Great.
Yeah.
So the latter two are going to stay, and the 4 bands, I think, will probably be enough.
Right.
And I like the way the first thing you said was face painting for children, which lets me know that this is completely a family affair.
Right. Exactly right.
This is for the families of anybody who wants to come. If you don't know what we're talking about, if you are on the fence about peace and war and all this craziness, this is a fantastic time to come and talk to some of the vets.
Right.
There.
Yeah. And the other thing too is I got a call from a woman down in Depot Bay, and she brought up the question about dogs. It was, you know, if you can bring a dog. Mm. Well, we're not allowing dogs, but if you have a service dog or something like that, you're more than welcome to attend the event. And this veteran did have a service dog. So, you know, we were just concerned about dogs fighting and all that stuff. But if you have a service dog or service whatever, you can bring. You can certainly come.
Right. And, okay, so we'll go over the logistics in a minute. Tell us, because I'd never heard of the Returning Veterans Project.
Right.
Is that something new, or has that been going on for a
while? It is relatively new. All the proceeds that we obtain through this event will go to the Returning Veterans Project. And the Returning Veterans Project is, what it is I can explain it right here. It's a project where veterans. Well, first of all, let me go with this. You may have heard a lot of news about the VA system as it currently is occurring, and I just like to make clear that it's not the healthcare of the VA system that's the problem. I go to the VA and I get very good service. It's the administration of the VA, and the administration is followed up mostly because of a failure to obtain funds. And of course, the funding is through the Congress, so it's not people aren't ineffective or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know.
I've heard only good things about the Portland VA, so
right.
I was shocked when this happened.
Yeah,
but, yeah. If you look behind it, yeah.
Right. So the Returning Veterans Project is another way of veterans obtaining care. And what they deal with mostly is, and what they do is that they depend on health providers to join their organization. so that what you need to do, well, here's what they are a volunteer, and here's what their volunteers do. They are mental health professionals, acupuncturists, naturopaths, chiropractors, massage therapists, healthcare practitioners, doctors, and we need you out there to become part of this nonprofit Returning Veterans Project. If you go to their website, they will say, we need providers. And what you do, you can sign right on and become a provider. Right now, there is only one provider in Clatsop and Tillamook County.
Ooh.
One provider. Now, the health provider can be the Reinhardt Clinic down in Manzanita. It could be a masseuse. Anyone who deals with health care could become a provider through the Returning Veterans Project. And
and what will they do? What will these providers offer?
Well, okay, it's mostly for, let me get it right here on that.
Obviously, they offer whatever their field is, but what's special about it? Because I see the word free in here, so I'm wondering
yes.
how that works.
Yeah. Okay, here's why it was, they offer free confidential counseling and therapy, acupuncture, chiropractic, and naturopathic medicine, massage therapy, and other healthcare services. The other thing is they educate and mobilize the community through speaking engagement. Well, that's mm-hmm. but that's what they offer for.
So if a provider were to sign up, then how would that? Do you know how that works? Does somebody go online and say, "I live in Cannon Beach and I'd like to
right.
you go speak to
yeah,
somebody"? And
let me give you their website.
Okay,
and then
people can check that out.
And right, you go to their website and they have a list of their providers,
mm-hmm.
and then you can find. Now, hold on here.
And hopefully we'll get some more people signing up who are local.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And they're going to have a booth at the at the Peace Fest.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had that here. You know,
yeah,
I'm about as organized as possible.
Well, you've got so many pieces of paper. I only have one, so I can read this. Returning Veterans Project is free counseling and other health services that Brian just mentioned,
yeah.
for returning veterans and their families. And you know what? If you don't worry about the website, because you can always just type in on your search engine, Returning Veterans Project.
And I actually found it right
oh, okay.
here now. It's actually, it's returningveterans.org.
Okay, that's even simpler.
Yeah, that's even simpler.
And then you can decide for yourself if you're a health provider of any kind, whether this is something that you might want to be part of. It makes me think of something. I'm a hospice volunteer, and when I can and when the need is there, then I step up. If I'm going out of town or I'm not available or there's plenty of other people to do the job, then nothing happens. But
right.
this sounds like a wonderful opportunity.
Right, and when you if you sign on their website, I have a phone number for them also. It's 503-954-2259.
Okay.
And when you sign on their website, you can find providers. You can join as a provider. They deal, and their main dealing is in where did I see that here? All right, I can't find it. But anyway. this is we decided on the Returning Veterans Project because it is, you know, there's a lot of outfits out there, and you know, you wonder if they're going to be, but this you wonder if they're good or bad.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. But this one's got a track
one,
record.
This one has a track record.
Yeah.
It's based in Oregon, so and I'm sure they probably have them in other states, but it's more at a state level than a federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's well worth having a look, returningveterans.org.
Right.
Or 503-954-2259. Or better yet, come to this fantastic festival, which is the North Coast Peace Fest 2014. Have you done this before, or is this the first
year?
This
is our first try at it.
It's North Coast Peace Fest 2014, as if there have been others, but I'm thinking, I think this is the first.
Right. There's talk about making it an annual event, but...
We'll see how you get through
this.
We'll
see how we do this time, yeah.
Well, I know it's a lot of work putting something like this on, so thank you, Brian. And who was your co-organizer?
Brent Engtel.
Yes, Brent and Brian. We'll just go with the first names.
Yeah, and I don't know if... I don't know if Brent didn't okay this, but I could like to give out my phone number.
Sure, your number's okay.
Yeah, well, I'll give out Brent's too, though, even though call me first, then call Brent.
There you go.
So, but if you, and we're still looking for donors and, donations and...
Vendors. People who want to take part in it.
Anybody wants to take part in it, call either Brent or I, and the number is 507-210-3583, and Brent says 503-473-1375, and Brent, don't kill me if you're listening out there.
Actually, I have both those numbers written down, so if you call me right after the show, I can give them to you, too. Brian,
sponsors was the word I was trying to think of.
Sponsors.
Sponsors. We can always use more sponsors.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's always true.
Right.
Terrific. Wheeler, you can't miss it. You can find it as soon as you get to Wheeler, the Waterfront Park on 101. And this is tomorrow, 11 to 4 p.m., the North Coast Peace Fest, sponsored by Veterans for Peace, Chapter 164. Thank you so much.
I have one more thing, Carol.
Yes, okay.
Now, if you want to go out and just see about the Peace Fest on your own, go to NOCO, North Coast, peacefest.weebly.com.
Okay. Weebly, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much for getting here on time, unlike me, and for sharing this. And I do want to let folks know that in honor of this Peace Fest happening and Veterans for Peace in general, Coast Community Radio is offering an encore broadcast of Radio Lab 60 Words, How One Sentence Written in the Hours After September 11th, 2001, Led to the Longest War in U.S. History. That's coming up this Sunday at 7 p.m. right here on KMUN 91.9, KTCB 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And we have a challenge grant of $500 towards this re-airing from a local peace activist. If you'd like to contribute any amount, you can contact Susan at coastradio.org. Listen in on Sunday, 7 p.m. Thank you so much for coming, Brian.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. And let's hear a little bit of music from Sedona Fire Band, which is one of the bands going to be at the North Coast Peace Fest.
Just a little forgiveness is all my heart needs. Just a bit of sunshine in your eyes. I'm just saying I'm sorry for all that I've done. Just a little forgiveness we can make up from this right. I know I made mistakes, I've really done things wrong. I'm asking you for grace, that's why I'd sing the song. Just a little forgiveness is all my heart. Just a bit of sunshine in your eyes. I'm just saying I'm sorry for all that I've done. Just a little forgiveness we can make up from this right. Can you find it in your heart to give a little smile? I'm down here on my knees, I'll be here for a while. Thank you. sunshine in your eyes. I'm just saying I'm sorry for all that I've done. Just a little forgiveness we can make up from this fight. Just give me one more chance to make it up to you. Just give me one last dance if we can't work it through. Just a little forgiveness is all my heart needs. Just a bit of sunshine in your eyes. I'm just saying I'm sorry for all that I've done. Just a little forgiveness we can make up from this fight. We can make up from this fight.
That's Sedona Fire Band, and they will be at the North Coast Peace Fest in Wheeler at 12:15. It starts out at 11 with Neil Carroll, 12:15, Sedona Fire Band, Rhythm Method at 1:30, and Bonnie Bentley at 2:45. Gonna be a blast. Well, my next guest is, you know, we sometimes say bi-coastal, meaning, you know, someone who's dealing in, say, New York and Portland or something. But I don't even know how to describe you. Marie Powell is here, and she lives part of the time in New Zealand. So it's like other side of the world. Do you have a studio there? Or?
Well, I have a studio that I work in there. It's not my own studio, but it's called the Te Kowhai Print Trust Studio, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to work there for about 3 or 4 months summer in New Zealand, which is winter here, of course.
Yeah, very and good so, planning.
Yeah, it works really well for me. In fact, the body of work that I did for this particular show that I'm having in Portland was created at that studio in New Zealand, and I brought it back with me.
Okay, let's back up a little bit and say that Marie Powell has a gallery here in Ilwaco, and it's called the Shoalwater Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also call it the Marie Powell Gallery?
Yes.
Okay,
because yeah. We kind of go back and forth
right,
there.
Right. I've seen both. You are part of the North Coast Printmakers Collective as well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been working in prints, and how long have you been working in art in general?
Well, I've been working as an artist for probably about 35 years, but the last 6 years I've really concentrated on printmaking. And what got me started actually was Royal Nebiker up at the Clatsop College. And that's just been a wonderful resource for me. And then in the meantime, I developed my own studio in Ilwaco. We're right at the port of Ilwaco there, and I have a large studio area with a large etching press, and so I do a lot of my work there. But I should mention too that Clatsop College printmaking department is an excellent resource for a beginner or an advanced printmaker, and also now Royal teaches a class which is printmaking for professional artists.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
And it's really wonderful.
Of course I wouldn't know that since I don't do that kind of stuff. But right now also at the college is a show by the North Coast Printmakers Collective, Odyssey. Isn't that still up?
That's still up. It'll be up until, I think, the 15th of September.
Okay.
Right at the moment, the college, you know, everybody's on vacation, so you have to make an appointment to see the show.
I would urge people to catch that show if you can. Mm-hmm. And Marie Powell and Penny Treat made some huge, gorgeous pieces. The whole show is fabulous. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is quite a collective of people who are doing printmaking. So Royal, if you're listening or if you're not, thank you for inspiring so many of the people in our community.
I'll second that.
Yeah. So that's in Astoria. Your gallery and your studio are in Ilwaco.
Right. We're right at the port of Ilwaco, right on the waterfront.
Are you having, are there art walks happening in at the port of Ilwaco this summer?
No, that's over with at the moment.
It is,
but, but we're there, and we have our own building there. I have my studio there and a small gallery that I show my work in.
Okay.
And we also have Pelicano Restaurant in our
building,
which I have to say is great, too.
They are wonderful. So now we've got Astoria and Ilwaco and New Zealand.
Right.
Do you show work in New Zealand at all?
Yes, I have two different galleries there that represent me, one in Kerikeri, New Zealand, and one in Russell. And they're both in the North Island there.
Okay. And now, coming up on September 4th, is this fabulous show in Portland, Gallery 903, and such a creative name. The address is 903 Northwest Davis Street, right in the Pearl District. I was lucky enough to get one of the couple of the flyers. I don't even call these flyers, the announcement, which is worthy of being hung by itself.
Yes, I did a great job.
I mentioned to Marie that one of the things, your work is often large. You do all different sizes, but sometimes it spreads out across a whole...
Right. This body of work has a lot of triptychs in it. The work, when I frame it and present it in a triptych form, where there's three pieces framed together as one piece, most of them are just under 6 feet long and a little over 3 feet wide. So they're large pieces, but I also frame some of them separately. And so they're, you know, smaller in size.
Well, I was finding, because I have seen your work in various places, but I've never seen it the way I'm looking at it on this card, which is obviously small relative to you, although it's a large card. And so I am getting to, my brain is completely getting around the whole piece. And I see, for example, this triptych.
Right.
I can see it all. And the motion is tremendous. Your work moves a lot. And I really enjoy that, being involved in dance and music. This makes me feel that. So this, are you talking about these are ones that you created in New Zealand?
Yes, predominantly. I've got a couple that I did here, but so, most of them were there, yes. So it's a whole body of work that is connected together.
Well, and I'm looking at the names, Escaping Earth, Weathering the Storm, Give and Take, could be anywhere. But did being in New Zealand make a difference in your work?
Well, I think it always does. I work there every year. I'm a pretty much full-time artist. I work 4 to 5 days a week, even while I'm in New Zealand. And so I'm pretty dedicated to that sort of thing. This body of work is all monotypes, and they're based on my my ideas about human relationships. And so I just kind of got into that. And in New Zealand, I guess maybe I'm more relaxed or whatever. It's summertime there, and I have less interruptions, and I can really focus on my work, and I can work continuously for 3 to 4 months on a theme, on certain ideas that I have. And I try to get as much content into the work as I can.
Is it partly that you don't have as large or connected a community there?
Well, part of that is true. And a lot of the friends and people that we're connected with there are artists and gallery owners.
So we're into
a real art community there, which helps too.
And part of New Zealand are you?
We're in the on the North Island, but the very north end of the North Island. So it's about 3 hours or so north of Auckland. Mm-hmm. It's called the Bay of Islands area. Okay. So it's very beautiful, subtropical sort of place. Mm-hmm.
So when I go to New Zealand with my Boodleers Point friends, we'll have to look you up, or
that's
at least
right.
go see your work.
That's
so
right.
yes, and I was noticing that a lot of what you mentioned has to do with human relationships.
Yes,
and yet they are, although I almost see if I
some
yes,
figures. In
yes,
there. Yeah.
almost mm-hmm. that's as close as I've right. seen your work come to having actual.
Well, for example, that one which mm-hmm. is called the Energy Give and Take. Mm-hmm. It has to do with my feeling about people and how we all get along. And that's mainly the theme of this show. That particular piece has to do with the idea that oftentimes people will give you energy. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people drain you of your energy. And so,
right.
you know, people kind of, for me, fall into two different categories. And that was the idea behind that particular piece.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and your colors are always vibrant and alive.
Well, my colors on this, I actually have a palette for this show that I used.
What? Tell us what that means.
I'm really into the color theory thing, and whatever I do is not an accident. It's a pretty well-planned thing, but I've used real contrasting colors here,
mm-hmm.
and I've predominantly used a red and green mm-hmm. theme, although there are different shades of red and green, and some are very muted.
And the darkness as well.
But I've always felt that, you know, where colors meet, mm-hmm. there's a lot of energy that happens there, and a lot of action happens. And I think you'll find these pieces have a lot of color contrast, and because of that, they do have lots of energy going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what I started with. I can see, but as I say, it's I can't wait to see the big ones, because
yeah.
seeing it small mm-hmm. Allows me to integrate it in it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be even more exciting to see the full size.
Yes, we have about nine or ten different large triptychs
mm-hmm.
and some smaller individual pieces. So it's a large show.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and your work up at the college is some very large pieces as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, it's good you have space for these. Mapping. What? Just quickly tell us, you wrote, mapping is for me the artistic expression of my feelings and opinions about a concept. What does the word mapping mean?
Well, I started out probably about 15 years ago with the whole idea of mapping in my work. And I actually used like trail maps of places I had gone hiking, road maps, and the traditional idea of a map.
Mm-hmm.
And I would collage it into my work, whether it was a painting or a monotype or whatever. And then I sort of developed that further, and it would be as if I asked you, for example, to draw a map of how you got here today, you would, I don't know how you draw it, but whatever you did, it would be a unique unique
mm-hmm.
experience.
Mm-hmm.
But if then I ask you to draw a map of your life journey from the last, say, the last year of your life and how you felt about it, you would have a challenge there,
right.
But you would also have a very unique, interesting
Absolutely.
Map created of your experience. And so that's where I've gone with this work. I've gotten into putting down in a tangible way something that is feelings and ideas that are intangible.
Sounds like an artist to me. Marie Powell is my guest, and her new show is opening in Portland on November 4th.
September.
November, holy cow.
Which is next Thursday,
that's
by
right.
the way.
it's the traditional first Thursday in Portland. This is Gallery 903 Northwest Davis Street in the Pearl. And you can also see her work at her gallery in Ilwaco, the Marie Powell Gallery, a.k.a. Shoalwater Gallery in the Port of Ilwaco, and up at the college. And if you happen to be in New Zealand, you might catch some work there, too.
Right. Okay. I have work at Riversea Gallery here in Astoria.
And do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's marie-powell.com.
Okay, that's easy enough. Okay, thank you so much, Marie, for coming in and
thanks for having me.
And for coming in nice and early, too. Everybody got here before me. Well, it's better that way.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, and congratulations on this show.
Great.
Very exciting.
Thank you.
Okay. I have some music here to commemorate Labor Day. This is Rebel Voices right here on KMUN 91.9. KTCB 89.5, coastradio.org. Thanks for listening, folks, wherever you are in the world. Nova Scotia.
The guys on the dock laze around, race the forklift and sass the floor, lady, till it's time for their tea. Then sit at the table by the window that opens and get paid a buck more an hour than me. High is the smell, low is the pay, long are the hours, why do we stay? Somewhere outside slips away while we're stuck in here canning salmon. The machinery's so loud that we say we've gone can deaf. Our shift is long over before we can hear, but they keep the noise level just under the limit so they won't have to buy us the right safety gear. High is the smell, low is the pay, long are the hours, why do we stay? Somewhere outside the whole summer slips away while we're stuck in here can springs so heavy our arms ache. Then we do socks which we pack in with ease. Then we do pinks, they're all mashed up and rotten, but they're packed into pound tins and shipped overseas. High is the smell, low is the pay, long are the hours, why do we stay? Somewhere outside the whole summer slips.
This is you're listening to Rebel Voices. That's Janet Stecker and Susan Lewis from Seattle. Janet also leads the Seattle Labor Chorus. And you can catch them in various places. So they do an excellent job on telling the stories behind labor. And, I have someone here who's going to tell a story, but I'm not sure how laborious it might be. Matt Love is here with me. And, Matt, how many books have you written this year? So far.
This year?
It's 2014, yes.
This book just came out this year. I'm almost finished with another one.
Uh-huh.
I've been on a roll for about 8 or 9 years, a book a year.
Yeah. Okay, so the On Rain was last year?
2013,
okay.
Rose City Heist 2014, and then next year a book about Astoria.
Oh, there you go.
It's a hot one.
See, now he's living in Astoria, and kids, just be careful what you do. If you don't know who Matt is, find out before you talk to him. Actually, I pinned something up on the wall that he talked about, the 10 things that let you know you're an Astorian. And I noticed that the Ship Report and KMUN made the list. So
yes,
that's cool.
Listening to the Ship Report is really a passport to living here if you really want to know what's going on.
There you go. Well, Rose City Heist. Now, I asked Matt 3 or 4 times already, is this really a true story? Because it says a true crime Portland tale of sex, gravy, jewelry, and almost rock and roll. And I laughed my way through this book, but I have to admit, I did keep reading it because I had no idea what was going to happen. And the truth is, I still don't know what happened.
Well, maybe when the movie comes out.
Oh, I don't want to wait.
We'll see. This did happen to me.
Okay, tell us.
What happened was, 21 years ago in August, I was living in Portland, and I became the chief suspect in the biggest jewel heist in Oregon history. And I had tickets to the Grateful Dead to go see them at Austin Stadium in Eugene. And then this incident happened with a friend of mine who was a German jewelry salesman named Philip Kohlerman, and we were robbed by what later turned out to be Colombian thieves, the Charles Dickens School of thievery.
Now, is this part absolutely?
This is all true.
Bona fide.
This is all true.
This is documented.
In my mind. But it actually did happen.
See, it's in the book.
I still have the ticket stub.
I know that you didn't. I know about the grateful. I'm talking about the Colombian part.
That is true.
It is true. Okay.
At the time, this is all pre-internet, the way jewelry was sold across the United States was that a German jewelry salesman would go to these high-end jewelry shops and show these shop owners their wares. That's the way it was conducted, and it had been conducted that way forever. In fact, it still may be conducted that way because these people want to see it. You can't look at it online.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was this guy was carrying $500,000 worth of jewelry and was robbed in broad daylight on a street in Portland, Oregon.
And it was your fault.
And it was my fault. And then that set off this ridiculous chain of circumstances where we then became accused or suspected of pulling off this crime because the story was so ludicrous to the police and the FBI, I might add.
And the rest of us, I might
yes, add. Yes, that I knew, Carol, it was funny because this all happened 21 years ago when I was 27 years old, actually, and I'd always wanted to be a writer, and I wasn't pulling it off back then, but I knew that what was happening to me when it was all over, I can laugh about it now, but it wasn't very funny at the time, that I knew I was sitting on one of the great nonfiction stories. I'd never heard of anything like this, and it was happening in real time. And I was hung over the whole time, too. So that put a little gloss on it as
well. Yeah, as I say in the beginning, a tale of sex, gravy, jewelry, and the gravy is for real, too. We're not talking metaphorically.
No, it's gravy is a major character in the book. It's I was living in a place called the Commodore Apartments. This book is also, Carol, I think you know you've read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short history of Portland in the early 90s.
And it's a tribute to the Portland that was, is what I felt.
A lot of the readers that have got their hands on the book, that's the kind of email traffic and response I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for writing this book about when Portland was a little slow,
mm-hmm.
cheap, gray,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't called the Moda Center. And it wasn't called whatever, is it Genwell Park now? No, it's Providence Park. Okay, it keeps changing. And Portland was just this sort of undiscovered little city that was cheap. And I was living in this Commodore Apartments, and there was a restaurant on the main floor. And this chef was named Tony. And Tony made the best biscuits and gravy in town. And he was our alibi. He saw the whole thing go down, but he refused to cooperate with the police for various reasons. and he made his biscuits and gravy was, renowned throughout mm-hmm. the city, and people would go there at all hours.
He's not there anymore.
He's not there anymore. But since the book came out, somebody emailed me and said, Matt, Tony is still alive. and he's still living in the Portland area, and I don't know if he's got the book, but he's pretty much immortalized in this book.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as somebody who made this, he was dealing all various sorts of drugs out of the restaurant as well. And
who wasn't?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you know, I miss that Portland, Carol, when I go to town there. Not to be nostalgic, but, you know, you just can't get anywhere anymore around there in town. And it's just, it's so, and all my friends, my younger friends, a lot of former students, they're just getting priced out.
Yeah.
And
but, you know, ironically, that's only 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what we see, gentrification of areas. I've seen it in New York, many areas.
Sure.
It's like gentrification of the whole town.
It really happened. I mean, you're exactly right, because in Portland, it happened in Southeast, then it went up Alberta, then it went up Mississippi, then it went up Broadway, then 23rd was the first. You know, that was the diviest area in Portland, was Northwest Portland. You know, that's where Drugstore Cowboy was filmed, in that area, you know, and they still had that old gritty kind of feel in there. And so, but you know, that's inevitable, I guess. The word got out about Portland, and I don't bemoan some of the changes. The food's better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the music's a lot better. But it was an era where, you know, you could live there for $300 a month for one-bedroom apartment with all the utilities paid. And
Was there much good music there at the time?
There was. I mean, that was at the very beginning of that whole Seattle-Portland scene, the late 80s, early 90s. And we saw all those bands, Nirvana, Soundgarden, you know, Hazel, Heat Miser, all those bands that really turned Portland into the fertile area, the indie rock city that it is now. It's practically the capital of the United States for that thing, for that subject now. So, but we didn't know that was going on at the time. Because everybody you met from Portland was from Portland.
Where are you from?
Oregon City.
Close enough.
Close enough. And we were there, and so you never met anybody. Now when I go to visit Portland, I meet somebody new. They're never from Portland.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was true here. I remember, you know, people, what do they call it? The native-born Oregonian or something like that.
Yes.
How did you and Philip come together?
Well, it's a really interesting
jewelry.
We were sitting at a... I had just got back from a trip. I was traveling, and I had come back, and I was broke, and I was looking for a teaching job. And I was sitting at the Kingston Bar on Burnside, and we were watching the television, and that's when Magic Johnson announced that he had HIV,
right,
which is a flashbulb memory. And I remember it, and he was sitting right next to me, and we were just talking. Then he had this heavy German accent, and then he became the brother I never had. And we became instant friends, and he had this weird itinerant lifestyle. Quite the ladies' man, traveling all over the United States, and
with $500 million.
Well, $500,000 in jewelry. But a gentleman, you know, he spoke four languages. He knew more about the country than most Americans did. But it began watching the moment when Magic, and of course he was instantly a pariah in the league, and like, and you think how far we've come with that issue and gay marriage in 21 years. I mean, sitting there at that bar, I would have never imagined that, you know, Portland would have had a gay mayor, or that, you know, there would be marriage equality across the country, and the Supreme Court, you know, validates it, and these conservatives are moving that. I mean, you just didn't see that coming.
Right. Right. You know? Now, if we could just do as well on some other progressive causes, that would be wonderful.
War would be one I would like to see.
Get rid of.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but.
Well, Rose City Heist is Matt Love's newest book from 2014, and are you going to do a reading tonight?
Yeah, we got a super event. I want to invite everybody in the area.
Tell us.
It's at the Big O Saloon, which is in Olney. It's about 9.5 miles up Highway 202. This wonderful roadhouse restaurant. They built a new stage for the event.
Ooh.
Outdoor. I've got a performance poet named Tim Sprouse coming to read. He's bringing one of his friends, Paul Brainerd, who's bringing a special organ and pedal steel.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're going to do some real spoken word performance.
What time is this happening?
It starts at 7 o'clock.
Seven.
It's free.
Okay.
And they're whipping up a special biscuits and gravy order, Carol. And I'm a vegetarian, and I'm going to try it. And then we have the local band out there, the Cowpokers, are going to follow us up. So it's a real, we're calling it the Biscuits and Gravy Literary Hoedown.
I love it.
And you
it.
Know what, Carol? I might actually reveal what happened there.
Oh.
I mean, you can't give away everything in a book.
Oh, I know. I asked Matt. I said, I'm still waiting to hear.
It's still, the story's still, let me just say this.
Okay, yeah.
It's still in flux.
Yes, it's still in flux, but there was a little passage here about
please share
about
it.
Your high school.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's lots of passages. You got to pick this thing up because it's really a wild run.
It's a short book. It's 20,000 words. You can read it in an hour. And
it's an, well, I don't know about an hour, but it's a light read, but it's fun. And I can't. Okay, so I'll just say that that Matt's students wonder. I love that line about his students wonder. From where comes the cash that he spends on them?
Yeah.
And he just smiles and, you know.
Well, I always said, hey, I am an eccentric millionaire who teaches for pleasure.
There you go. There you go.
And hey, I'd like to also make an announcement to people out there. I'm going to be teaching at Astoria High School this fall. I got a job, part-time job teaching English, and I have been so impressed with the staff.
Oh, fantastic.
The administration has been incredible, and I'm really looking forward to getting there and working with the students and teaching writing and probably cultivating the mystery of being an eccentric millionaire who teaches for pleasure.
There you go. And folks, you're in for a fabulous ride with Matt at the helm. And you're writing these days for?
I'm writing for the Coast Weekend, some other publications around the region. I've really enjoyed working with Coast Weekend. They've run with a lot of my ideas. And I tell you, Carol, this town is like, I call it, it's just a story factory.
Yeah,
it is. You're walking down the street. I've never felt that about any other city in Oregon I've ever been to, and I just get assaulted.
Assaulted with stories. Yes. I love it. I love it. And we first met Matt writing at the Hipfish, so he's been around the corner, and he's going to keep going around and around and taking us with him on the ride. Tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. at Big O Saloon in Olney. Be there and have some biscuits and gravies. Thanks so much.